News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
We are now, I'm delighted to say, joined at 7 minutes past eight by the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. Good morning, Taoiseach.
Morning, Shane. Thanks for having me.
Good, our pleasure. Are we looking at an election date of December 7th? We may as well cut to the chase straight away. Is that the likely election date at this point?
No, is the short answer. Not entirely sure where that date's coming from. But as you well know, having worked around the place, Leinster House is always a hive of speculation. So I've been hearing for months rumours about election dates. Obviously, my focus, at least up until yesterday, was getting a budget through, the eighth budget since the party I lead came to power. And really moving into planning now for the next European Council Summit next week. So I'm very focused on the job, whether it's the economy or Brexit or dealing with the problems we have in health and housing.
Okay, and we will get to some of those. And definitely I do want to talk about the budget because there's loads in it. And I know you're very anxious to emphasise how family friendly it was as well. But we will get to that. But just to get this election stuff out of the way, because there's no point pretending that the speculation isn't there. There is quite a dance going on between you and Micheál Martin. It strikes me from the outside, you want to have a quick review. You will say to get down to the business of government. Some people would say it's because you want to keep the option open of a December election. Micheál Martin wants to keep wants a longer review. People are saying it's so he can stymie you in terms of calling an early election. Is that a fair assessment of things?
Well, what we've agreed is that the two parties will enter talks now, and that we'll do so on a no preconditions basis. So that's what we've agreed, and I think both me and Martin and I will stand over that. I suppose where the focus may be different is that Fianna Fáil seems keen to carry out a review of the past 2.5 years since the last election, and I've no difficulty with that, but I think our focus should be mainly on the future, putting together a new agreement, setting out what the government can achieve over the next couple of years. And what I'd like to do is to agree that we won't have a general election until the summer of 2020. And that will mean that there'll be a stable government in place to finish off the first set of Brexit negotiations, bring us through Brexit, which will actually happen next March. It's only 6 months away now. And get underway the talks on the future relationship and do all the things which I want to be doing, which is actually focusing on the job and delivering for our citizens rather than this constant speculation about if there will or will not be election and when it might be. And I find that destabilising in politics.
Fair enough. Can you understand why Micheál Martin would find it almost impossible to sell to his party the idea of staying in government, propping up Fine Gael, propping up you as Taoiseach, until 2020?
You know, I can certainly understand if that's the case. Now, he hasn't said that to me. But if that's the case, I can understand that Fianna Fáil are in a difficult position. In some ways, they're neither in government nor in opposition, and that's a difficult position for them to be in. So it's not that I'm not conscious of that, but you know, the priority has to be to put the interests of the country first. And I believe the interests of the country can be put first by extending the council supply agreement, saying that there won't be an election until the summer of 2020, and then allowing us all to get on with doing our jobs, whether it's as government or as constituency TDs. And I think that's what people actually want. It's going to be quite hard to do the people's business if every week, every month, we're speculating about whether or not there's going to be an election and what the date is going to be. And you know what happens in that scenario. It's harder to get the job done. Interest groups tend to ratchet up their demands. People put off making hard decisions, and that's not what the country needs.
Okay. You and me, Micheál Martin, you seem to have a fairly testy relationship. I mean, you accused Micheál Martin yesterday of making accusations he can't stand over. Just have a listen to what he had to say. He was with us about a month ago, and I was asking him the same question about your relationship. Just have a listen to what he had to say.
I'm not naive in my dealings with the Taoiseach. I'll put that with you. And I must say that the distinguishing feature of the Taoiseach and the government seems to be one of self-absorption. It seems to be that everything is through the prism of public relations, through spin, through leaking.
Okay, you heard what he had to say there. Is that you obviously would reject the idea that everything is done through the prism of PR. You do seem to have a difficult relationship, a strained relationship.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, any time we've sat down one-to-one, and we've done it many times now, I found him to be very pleasant, and the relationship has been very workmanlike, and, you know, as somebody who's served in government, who's been around since the 1980s, I think, he is somebody who does understand politics and understand government very well, perhaps in a way that some people in opposition who've never served in government don't. So I have to say I found the one-to-one relationship quite good, quite frankly. I think, though, however, when we're in the Dáil and when we're on the media, he adopts a somewhat different tone.
And plays to the gallery?
Well, if you think about it logically, it's very difficult for a Fianna Fáil leader at the moment to criticise the government on policy. You know, they were across the budget. They enable us to put lots of legislation through the Dáil, changing our laws and amending our laws over the last couple of years. So when they can't really go after us on things like the budget, which they were across, or major policy decisions, then they can really only go after us on, you know, either style over substance thing or attacking us personally. Okay. So, you know, it's a difficult position to be in. I can understand it. But I'm not in the business of attacking people personally. And, you know, I think when Fianna Fáil goes on about our communication style, I think that's driven more by the fact that they don't like the fact that we do make a real effort to communicate with the public and explain what we're doing. And we're very much led by a different generation of politicians in that regard. Let's not forget about the last four Fianna Fáil Taoiseach. Three of the last four Fianna Fáil Taoiseach end up in tribunals because they weren't straight up with people and they didn't tell the truth. Whereas I tend to be straight up with people and I tend to tell them the truth, or at least the truth as I know it. And
does Micheál Martin not do that?
Oh, I think he does, yeah.
Okay, just very finally on this, and we will...
Know, you know, like, it's all very well to criticise, you know, our style of communication, so the fact that I talk to the media, answer questions, I'm open with people. You know, it's not that long ago before we, you know, when we had Fianna Fáil in government, where we had two Fianna Fáil ministers standing on the steps of government buildings saying that the IMF weren't in town.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of style of politics we want to go back to?
Well, I mean, to be fair, it was the politics of chaos at the time and nobody was quite sure what was happening. Would Fine Gael, would Enda Kenny have performed that much better in those circumstances?
Oh, I believe so.
Okay. Well, we'll move on from that. Just very finally on this issue, can you and Micheál Martin, can you sort this out? Can an election be avoided in your view?
Well, yes, like...
Because some of what you said there, said with respect, Taoiseach, sounded a little bit like electioneering to me.
Well, you know, I'm being as transparent as I possibly can. I wrote to Deputy Martin back on the 31st of August, set out what I'm proposing, which is that we don't have a general election until the summer of 2020, giving us time to get through Brexit and deal with the problems that the country faces. And I set out, you know, a set of policies and programs that I thought a government could realistically achieve. So I don't expect him to say, yes, I accept that, but I'd like that to be the basis of negotiations. So, you know, we've agreed now that we will engage on a no preconditions basis for doing that. He'd like to do a review looking back over how the agreement has operated over the last two years or so. I'm okay about that, but, you know, I would like sooner rather than later to get on to the business of actually seeing if we can agree a new agreement and put that in place and allow us to focus on the things that I believe matter to people, which is managing the economy well, increasing living standards, getting as good a deal as possible on Brexit. Mm-hmm. Brexit's only going to be a negative for Ireland, but I think we can minimise the damage if we get this right. And then focusing on, you know, issues such as health and housing, where we've massively increased the budget for next year, and now the job is to turn all that extra money into houses and all that extra money into better health services for people.
Okay, just before we talk about the budget, you mentioned the two Fianna Fáil ministers leaving people in the dark. Some people would say one of your own ministers, Dennis Nocton, has left people in the dark in relation to the number of meetings he seemed to have had with the head of a consortium bidding for a very valuable state licence.
Yeah, I met with Dennis last night just to get a better understanding of his, you know, his engagement with Mr. McCourt. As you know, he's not actually directly involved in the procurement of the national broadband contract. And it's generally understood that Minister, this is going on about 3 years, so the Minister of Communications and Energy has to be able to talk to people like the CEO of ESB and the CEO of Bord Gáis and the CEO of Vodafone. And bear in mind, all of those people were part of the bid process at some stage, but there is a protocol around how meetings should occur, you know, about officials needing to be present and all of those kind of issues. And let's not get away from what this is. This is a national broadband plan that will bring fibre to about 500,000 homes, businesses and farms in rural Ireland.
Yeah.
At the moment, about 80% of homes in Ireland have access to high-speed broadband, up from only half when this government of Fine Gael and Independence came to office. But it's about 500,000 very rural premises who don't yet have access to high-speed broadband.
Yeah, it's very, very important.
And we want to get them connected.
The question isn't about whether or not the plan is a good one and whether it should happen. Of course it should. The question is about the process. And was the minister... I don't think anyone thinks there was anything untoward about it. It's a judgment issue. Was the minister right to meet with someone who's bidding? And at that meeting, elements of the bid process were discussed.
Yeah, and Dennis will be in the Dáil today. So what he's going to do in the Dáil is... clarify his contacts with David McCourt. Bear in mind that meeting had officials present, and it was minuted.
You don't have a difficulty with it?
Well, what I have to get now from Dennis is just a full understanding of all of the contacts that he's had with David McCourt. And now, bear in mind, the minister is not actually involved in the procurement process, and it was set up in a way that the minister would be hands off.
He is the line minister, though. Was it wise to meet the head of a consortium bidding for that contract?
So long as they weren't talking about the contract itself. You know, like I say...
Micheál Martin says they were, Taoiseach. He says that at least four issues were discussed. The need for a streamlined decision-making process, the importance of the deadline, issues of the permanent Irish-based leadership position. He says those issues were, you know, they were quite relevant to the bidding process.
Yeah, as I understand from that meeting, which was a dinner in New York, the dinner was not established for the purposes of talking about the national broadband plan, but at the dinner, Mr. McCourt raised these issues. Dennis didn't respond, but they were minuted, which is appropriate. But bear in mind, you know, at a certain point, other companies were involved in this bidding as well, like, for example, ESB, like, for example, Vodafone, like, for example, Air. It wouldn't be possible for the Minister of Energy and Communications not to deal with the heads of these companies for 2 or 3 years. He wouldn't be able to do his job.
Okay.
And that's exactly why this has been set up to be at arm's length in the way it has.
So we need to hear what Dennis Nocton has to say in the Dáil on this today. Let's talk about the budget. You famously, and I thought quite courageously at the time, said you wanted to lead a party for people who get up early in the morning. Was there enough in the budget for those people who get up early in the morning?
I would like to have done more, quite frankly, Shane, but there is a lot in it. You know, for people who get up early in the morning, whether it's people working long hours, whether it's people who are carers, for example, lots of different people get up early in the morning for lots of different reasons. You know, we'll see people benefiting from modest reductions in income tax in USE. We'll see people benefiting from much improved childcare subsidies, which will kick in next year. Pay parental leave, for example, for the first time. We'll see people benefiting from some of the welfare increase. You know, the carers, for example, would benefit from that, as would lots of other people. And they'll also benefit from, you know, things like the additional funding that we have for healthcare and the additional funding that we have for housing. So if you take the budget in the round, I think people will benefit a lot. Bear in mind, the budget also provides for pay increases, provides for a minimum wage increase for those who often work the hardest and many times are the ones who get up the earliest in the morning, those on the lowest pay. And the budget also provides for pay increases across the public sector, a special pay increase for recent entrants, provided we can get that deal over the line. And in addition to that, we're seeing pay rises across the private sector. So in a growing economy, in a well-managed economy, you can improve people's living standards essentially in four different ways. And that's by reducing income tax in USC, by increasing pay, by improved welfare provision, and also by doing things to reduce the cost of public services, like the cost of childcare, like the cost of medicines, like the cost of seeing your doctor. All of those things.
Okay, and you certainly ticked all those boxes. And look, I'm very hesitant to portray it in
some people will say, and they are saying this, and I understand this, You spread it too thinly and you could have done more. You know, at the same time today, people are critical of us for spending too much. So governments have to get that balance right.
And they do.
What
and
we wanted to do for the first time in 10 years was actually balance the books, and we've done that.
Just about. I mean, given the tax revenue, I checked, tax revenues have risen by 7 billion in the last 2 years. And you're only just about balancing the books. That doesn't sound like the Leo Varadkar that came into politics, that railed against excessive spending and governments losing the run themselves. It sounds like a very different Leo Varadkar to me.
Well, what we're doing is balancing the books for the first time since 2007.
Just about.
That will allow us to reduce our debt as a proportion of GDP, and we're also setting up a rainy day fund. So that's very much in line with the prudent, fiscally conservative politician who you talk about. But I also have to deal with the reality is that we live in a society with enormous demands. You know, we have a health service which needs to be expanded. People will be very aware of the enormous demands that we have in housing. We want to build, or at least provide an additional 10,000 social homes next year for people on the housing list. We want to make sure that we meet our target of building 25,000 new homes and apartments next year for people who want to buy their first home in particular.
No, fair enough.
That requires public spending, and what a government has to do is it has to balance, on the one hand, you know, the demands to do more, and on the other hand, the need to be prudent so that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past. And, you know, if you listen to the opposition in the Dáil every day, they're saying every day that we're not spending enough, we're not borrowing enough. And
as Fine Gael did in opposition during the noughties. Can I just put it down?
I'll just give you one figure, though, and I think this is probably
an important one.
I don't want to bamboozle you with figures.
No, it's okay.
But the increase in current spending in the budget is about 4%. When Fianna Fáil was last in office, before we had the crash, the average increase in spending was 11%. That is the difference.
Current spending has gone up by 4%. I think spending in real terms is up 6% year on year, I think.
Yeah, if you add in capital. But what is capital? Capital is transport, housing, new hospitals, schools, extensions.
Perhaps
these are really needed, I guarantee you.
I would make the point, you know, if you listen to Charlie McCreevy talking about the noughties, he would make the exact same point. He would say at the time all those spending increases were needed. But look, perhaps it's a conversation for another day, but I am fascinated, Taoiseach. I mean, you kind of alluded to it yourself. You have changed, I think, and your views on politics and have changed. Is it because you are now Taoiseach and there's the real politic? Or have you changed your views in terms of, you know, need to spend more on welfare, need to spend more on housing? Which is it? I'm curious. It's probably too big an issue to get into in any great detail now. But have you changed over the last few years from the young firebrand who came into the Dáil and harangued Bertie Ahern and Tony Blair and even Garrett Fitzgerald?
I suppose I have, Shane. You know, I'm still fundamentally the same person, the same politician. But, you know, particularly having served in government and having served in departments like the Department of Health, I have a better understanding as to why the health service does need so much more money every year with the growing population, an ageing population, new technologies that have to be paid for. Having served in social protection, you know, one group of people who I really wanted to do more for were the self-employed, and we're continuing that, you know, extending social protection benefits to people who are self-employed, who become sick or lose their jobs through no fault of their own. And certainly in that job had a better understanding and of the struggles of carers and the struggles of people with disabilities and how government's responsibility to support them. So I suppose with experience and life experience and political experience, you hopefully become a better politician. I hope I have. But that doesn't go away from a basic fundamental belief that I have, is that government needs to be prudent and think long term. And it's so easy to plunge your country into a disaster if you don't sometimes say no. And, you know, when I hear the opposition all the time, it's just give in to every demand, tax more, spend more, borrow more. And sometimes you have to be the bad guy and you just have to say no. But I think we've got the balance right, at least we're doing our best to.
Okay, thank you very much for your time this morning, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar there. Okay, 8:26 on News Talk Breakfast. Coming up, Leinster have a target on their back ahead of the Champions Cup, while Connacht are going artificial. Stay with us.